Yam Grahayam Asha
Sadidam Grahayam
Asha Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna, the Source of All Incarnations, Text 39, Page 190 here. Ateha Danya Bhagavan Taitam
Ateha Danya Bhagavan Taitam
Ateha Danya Bhagavan Taitam
Ateha Danya Bhagavan Taitam
Yad Vasudeve Kila Lokanate
Yad Vasudeve Kila
Lokanate
Yad Vasudeve Kila Lokanate
Urvanti Sarvatma Kamatma
Bhavam
Kurvanti sarvatma kam atma bhavam
Na
yatra bhuya parivarta ugraha
Na yatra bhuya parivarta
ugraha Ateha danya bhagavanta itam
Ateha danya bhagavanta itam
Yad vasudeva kila lokanate
Yad vasudeva kila lokanate
Kurvanti sarvatma kamatma bhavam
Kurvanti sarvatma kamatma bhavam
Yad nayatra bhuya parivarta ugraha
Nayatra bhuya parivarta ugraha Ateha danya bhagavanta itam
Ateha danya bhagavanta itam
Yad vasudeve kila lokanate
Yad vasudeve kila lokanate
Kurvanti sarvatma kamatma bhavam
Kurvanti sarvatma kamatma bhavam
Na yatra bhuya parivata ugra
Yatra bhuya parivata ugra Ateha danya bhagavanta itam
Yad
vasudeve kila lokanate Kurvanti sarvatma kamatma bhavam Nayatra bhuya parivarta ugra Very good. Atha,
Atha.
Thus.
Iha,
in this world.
In this world.
Danya,
Danya.
Successful.
Successful.
Bhagavanta,
Bhagavanta.
Perfectly cognizant.
Itam,
such.
Such.
Yat,
Yat.
What?
What?
Vasudeve,
Vasudeve.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Akila,
all embracing. Lokanate,
Lokanate.
Unto the proprietor of all the universes.
Kurvanti
inspires Sarva Atmakam 100%
Atma
spirit
Bhavam
ecstasy
Na
never
Yatra
wherein
Bhuyaha
again
Parivrataha
repetition
Ugraha
dreadful Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Sisi Bhaktivedanta, Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda. Only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant. For such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes, and guarantee 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. Responsibly. Only by making such inquiries
in this world
can one be successful
and perfectly cognizant.
For such inquiries
invoke
transcendental
ecstatic love
unto the personality of Godhead,
who is the
proprietor
of all the universes,
and guarantee
10%
immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. Maja, you can read the purport.
The inquiries of the sages headed by Sanaka are herewith praised by Sutta Goswami on the merit of their transcendental nature. As already concluded, only the devotees of the Lord can know Him to a considerable extent, and no one else can know Him at all. So the devotees are perfectly cognizant of all spiritual knowledge. The personality of Godhead is the last word in the absolute truth. Impersonal Brahma and localized Paramatma, Supersoul, are included in the knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So one who knows the personality of Godhead can automatically know all about Him, His multipotencies and expansions. So the devotees are congratulated as being all successful. A 7% devotee of the Lord is immune to the dreadful material miseries of repeated birth and death.
Bhujyanasimiram dasya janaganasulakayam chakshusmritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manavistam shapitam jena bhutale swayam upakaramaya dadati shakarantikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhuni chananda shri adaita gadadha shri vasari gaura bhakta vrindam hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram 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 hare hare. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by Sudha Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami, to his disciple Maharaj Pariksit. The history was that Maharaj Pariksit was a king. He was rather young, prime of life, but one day he was hunting the Kshatriyas, the warriors they were allowed to hunt, and just to keep themselves in that mood of defending against aggressors. So he was tired and thirsty, and he came to a cottage, and he saw there a person meditating, and he wanted to have water, he was thirsty. But that person was in meditation, didn't come out of his meditation, and so he felt neglected. That generally when a guest comes to you, you're supposed to offer at least some sweet words, and maybe a glass of water if they like, a place to sit. So he wasn't given that etiquette. And so, by the arrangement of the Lord, you can say, he became annoyed. And when he was leaving, on the end of his bow, he took a snake, a dead snake that happened to be laying there, and he put it around this person's neck like a garland, as an insult. Then he left. So when that sage came out of trance, then he saw that the snake was on it, and he just threw it away. He didn't think much of it. But his son was a young boy, about 12 years old, Sringi. And he took it very seriously. My father's been insulted. So he was the Brahmin class. The king was the Kshatriya. So Brahmins are considered higher than the Kshatriya. And so he took insult that my father has been insulted by this lowly Kshatriya king. So he went and he cursed the king. Brahmins had such power that they could curse something to happen and it would happen. Just like, I curse you to drop dead in 3 days. So that's what he cursed. He cursed the Maharaj Pariksit that he should die in 7 days by a snake bite, snake bird bite, by the bite of the snake. So when Maharaj Pariksit heard that curse was there, because later on he repented, he felt bad at what he did. And he said, so let whatever comes to me, let it become due. Let it due, because I was offensive, I insulted the sage. And of course the sage, when he found out that his son did that, he was very upset. He said, no, you shouldn't have done this. He is the ideal king, why you've cursed him? But the curse was already there, so Maharaj Pariksit accepted it. And he then, because he knew it was in 7 days, he was going to die. So he came, when the word spread, the king is going to die in 7 days. So all the sages there were on the bank of the Ganga. And he approached them, and he asked them, what is the duty of one who is about to die? That was his question. So the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, which is 18,000 verses, centers around these questions and answers based on this dilemma. You know, what is the duty of one who is about to die? So here, the instant answer has been given that in the previous verse we read yesterday, only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Krishna, who carries the wheel of chariot on his head, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. In today's verse, again, the same point. making inquiries into this world, can one, only making such inquiries about the nature of God, can one be perfectly cognizant. For such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes, and guarantee 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. So most people, they never think about birth and death. They're just engaged in eating and sleeping, more or less like animals. The child, they're not thinking, what is the plot? What's going to happen to me when I die? They're just going on the bodily platform. So, that's not unusual, because we do have a body, and we're intimately connected with it. We don't deny it. But what we're saying, in the human form of life, you have to develop consciousness, just like the bhajan we were just singing. Now, in the human form of life, you should inquire, what is the purpose of life? And chant Radha Madhava, or chant the name of God. So, this is the idea, that we shouldn't just spoil our life like animals, eating and sleeping, having sex, life, and defending. These four things, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, we have in common with everybody who has a body. The dog, the cat, the polar bear. They're also thinking like that. But we have the other qualification. We can inquire, well, why do I have to grow old? Why do I have to die? Why is there so much suffering in this world like that? So this is the proper use of the developed consciousness. And then we can approach the Lord with this kind of inquiry. We're encouraging people to be thoughtfully inquisitive. But most people prefer to sleep. Right? On this issue, they don't think it's important. They think the important thing is to get ahead in the world and make a lot of money and have a good wife or husband, and then you can be happy. But what is the use of that happiness that's running through your fingers? You try to hold it. And then it's gone. You can't keep it. And then old age comes. Like I was telling the story, there's one lady I have some business dealings with. And her mother is about 80 years old. So the father just recently died. And she was saying, the daughter was saying, oh, it was a wonderful marriage. They were always together, always happy together. And so. But now the mother is miserable. Because the only thing that she had was her husband, and he's gone. And so she has no spiritual knowledge, no idea of God. I was trying to encourage her, why don't you take her to the church? She said, well, she never liked to go to church very much. So she's just sitting in the home, 80-year-old woman, her husband is dead, and she's got nothing. All she has is some memories. Okay, yeah, I was happy when I was 50, 40. But still, that won't really satisfy you. You want to be happy continuously. You want to have it always newer and fresher. And we're saying that's possible. I saw when I was in India that Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, many of them were old. Prabhupada was born in the turn of the century, last century. So now he would be 110 or something. So let's say I was in India 25 years ago. So many of Prabhupada's godbrothers were still there. Prabhupada was also there. And when I would meet them, I would see that they were old by material estimation, but their eyes were always bright. They always had light behind their eyes. They were always, it was a vitalness there. Because they weren't old in a sense, you know, if you go to see these old people, they're just like washed out. There's nothing. They have no future. Nothing. But here, these people, they knew that they were in their body. They knew that their future was very bright. In one sense, we say, what is so attractive about youth? The attractive thing about youth is that they're anticipating the future. Oh, when I get married, when I have children, then now, really. So there's that sense of the future is coming, so we're happy. We're going to be happier and happier. Now we're happy, we're going to be more happy. But then when that's passed, the children are gone, and then they have nothing to live for. So they become unhappy. So what is the use of that life which ends in unhappiness? We're saying you can be happy even at the moment of death if you understand who you actually are. To give the example of the mouth of the cat, it's carrying a kitten, it's also carrying a mouse. So for the kitten it's natural, just being carried by the mother. But for the mouse it's horrible, death. So death is coming to the devotee and to the non-devotee, but to the devotee, there's no anxiety. It's natural. And we carry it to the next body or next situation. And because I've been a devotee, because I have attraction for the holy name, therefore my future is guaranteed to be very bright. So I have no anxiety. Let death come. That was Maharaj Pariksit's mood also. He said, let death come, whatever. Just let me prepare myself in the proper way. But there's no, you can say, urgency for people to prepare themselves for death. There's nothing. There's no institution. There's no education. Now, you know, you've lived your life. Like in our Vedic culture, a man, after the age, after the children have grown up, especially the sons are there, they can take care of the house. He's supposed to leave. Because at the end of life, then he should prepare himself. Okay, now I've had so many years of living with my family, the children are settled, everything is nice. Now, what do I stay here for? Now I should understand the next phase is death. So let me make preparation. Let me go. And even still in India, you see, they come to Vrindavan, they go to Vinara, the holy places, and they practice chanting or hearing and different austerities. They may do yoga. This chanting is not the only way. We say it's the easiest way, especially in this age. But there are different spiritual processes that they undergo to prepare themselves for the death, because they know death is coming. But in this culture, there's hardly, even amongst the Christians, they don't think, okay, now you should come out of the house, because they don't have this conception of attachment and how you're going to have to come back. The philosophy is, you stay in your house till the time of death, you're looking at your wife and your children on the deathbed, means you're attached to them, you're going to have to come back again into the material world. But here it's described as ugra. Ugra means dreadful, to have to take birth again. We want to get out of this, but there's no conception like that. Only, okay, I'll accept Christ and then I'll be saved. But if you're accepting Christ, that means you have to love God with your whole heart. Not that you love your money and you love your wife and your children with all your energy and then you give a little bit to Christ on the weekend when you go to church. No, you have to love with all your heart. But that's not being taught. Especially in old age, the people should be. Feel some urgency. Okay, now I've had my life, my children have grown up. Let me become ready. Prepare myself for the next stage. But they don't want to think about that. No, I'm not going to die. Somehow they forget it. They watch the cinema and they forget. They take intoxication, they forget. But death is coming. Why not make preparation? This is our culture. Okay, any comments or questions? And it's not something dry. In other words, it invokes transcendental ecstatic love. That love is there. It's dormant in us. It can come out when we are properly trained. It will become manifest. We have the capacity to love God. And it's the most ecstatic thing. We think loving my boyfriend is ecstatic. But loving God is even more ecstatic, because God is more worthy. It doesn't mean that on this side you shouldn't love your boyfriend. That's okay. You should be chaste and faithful and shy and keep yourself for him. This is especially the woman's role. If he's a good man, then you should follow him. Then the woman will be happy. But again, in this culture, the woman is thinking, no, I'm equal in all respects to the man. I can do that, I can do that. Who needs a man? But the man is needed because he's a natural guide. How is he the natural guide? Because it's easier for him to understand he's not the body. For a woman, it's difficult. It's more difficult. Not impossible, but it's more difficult. Because naturally the body is there to produce the child. Then the woman's body is equipped for producing a child. So when the instinct is there for children, then you have to be concerned on this level. How to make a nice house, apartment, furniture, so I can raise my children. The mother bird is collecting the twigs to make the nest. Because she knows she's carrying the egg. I have to make this nest, otherwise I won't have any place for my children to. But the man can be more detached. So in the Vedic culture, the men are generally the guides. There's some exceptions. And a woman can't. Like Prabhupada was asked by some of his women disciples. Well, sometimes you say, Prabhupada, women are less intelligent about spiritual matters. And Prabhupada said, yes, if you think you're a woman. But if you can come to the point where you just identify with your soul, but that's pretty advanced. Generally, a woman is going to identify with their body to some degree. I'm a woman, I have to, act on that platform. So we don't discourage that. Be a woman, but be an ideal woman. And the woman's greatest quality is her chastity and her shyness, her loyalty. So you have a good man, you love him. He'll come around, don't worry about if he's sleeping today. But you just yourself become a devotee, and he'll become a devotee. Because he'll see your example, he's intelligent. He'll see, oh, she's becoming happy. So why not also become happy? But don't become disloyal to him. He's a good man. You should think like that. I'm going to stay with this man the rest of my life. Or at least until the children grow up. Okay?
Anything else?
You too. To think like that. You're a good man.
Is that ostatniej mocy to było, że no co nie dostało, ja mam trzeba pić wódkę.
Mahatmini saying that in Christianity they don't have this knowledge about reincarnation, so they don't have anxiety about what is going to happen in the next life. Like my husband's grandmother, when she was just about to die, she said, oh, there's nothing left for me. So she started drinking alcohol. Because she wanted to have at least something that...
Yeah. Some pleasure. Everybody's looking for pleasure. The nature of the soul, ananda maya visya, the nature of the soul is full of joy. So either you get joy in the ecstatic love of God, or you get joy in alcohol. So that's your choice. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.